me in the deepest part, and I will stand in cleansing fire by you purified. By you I'm purified. Savior of my soul,
back to Life Saving Ministries. This is Dr. John Paul, along with Evangelist Minister Linda. Today we will continue with our study of our duties and daily walks of believers as we consider additional promises of God. Before we begin this study today, let's pray. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence and study your word, we request that you provide us with a clear and better understanding of who you are and why your promises are so important to us. Open our hearts, minds, and ears to your word as we hear the message that you have placed upon these messengers' hearts. May this message touch someone in a very special way and bring them to know you as their personal Savior. In Jesus' blessed and holy name, we say, Amen. You know, I mentioned before in our last series, the word promises means it's a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified and is usually a legal binding declaration that gives the person to whom it's made a right to expect or claim the performance of a specified act. In God's Word, the Holy Bible, one finds numerous promises that God Himself has made to us and for Himself. That is why we must study His Word and learn about what promises have been made that will affect our lives. As I stated last week, God cannot lie. He is faithful and true to His Word, and in Titus 1:2, it clearly states, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Today we will continue studying the additional categories of promises located throughout the Bible. These confirm God has made promises He is going to do at certain things at certain times for us if we also are willing to do something in return for and of Him. In our first category today is a promise to believers. There are several promises that we are and will need to consider. The first one we don't talk about in this session is deliverance. One must come to realize that God is a divine deliverer. In 2 Samuel, the word says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer." He goes on to tell us, even in our older age, He, the Lord God, will deliver us. Isaiah 46:4 says, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I've made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." Please note, God utilizes the first-person pronoun, I, which tells us that He will personally be involved in our deliverance and protection. It is through His divine strength and power that He can sustain us and help us throughout all the stages of our lives. There are no idols, cult religions, or even man that can accomplish this promise to us. Now let's look at several scriptures that provides us with promises to believers that God will provide us with this deliverance. Of course, it's his deliverance, none other. In Psalms 91:3, which is also found in Psalms 116:8 and Isaiah 46:4, the fowler's snare. You know, this includes any plots from the enemy, Satan and his demon force, which are intended to endanger one's lives. In this, it says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Notice deadly pestilence. Doesn't this sound familiar in our daily lives today? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 through 13, and also in James 1, 12 through 15, he will save us from temptations. I'd like to read the one in James because it tells us a lot more about what we need to know. It says, starting with verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, which it is finished, bringeth forth death. And of course, that death we're talking about is separation from God eternally. Now, let's look at a few more of these promises. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, we see that the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen? You'll also find that in Hebrews 2:15. So therefore we know that he can save us from the enemy's evil attacks on us. In 2 Peter 2:9, one of our favorite verses, it says, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous from the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is so important. We're all going to be facing trials. And it says that even Jesus suffered as we will suffer. We have to be refined for his use. And sometimes it takes longer than others. The second category that I'd like to mention is the promise of forgiveness. This is so important, and I hope you will listen carefully. In Psalms chapter 103, verses 1 through 4, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I want you to focus us back on this part of the verse here that we've read in verses 2 and 3. He forgiveth all our iniquities, and he healeth all our diseases. Even that we're facing with this pandemic today, he can heal us from it if we'll just come to him and be unified together and request in prayer that he heal our land. Then in Psalms 103:4, it says, but when you there is forgiveness, therefore ye are feared. You know, the Lord says if you respect him, he's going to forgive us. And in Matthew 6:14 is another one of our favorites. And Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Forgiveness is such a very important street. God forgives, but we got to remember we have to forgive others. If we can't forgive, God can't forgive us. And that is a very, very important promise that's twofold. You know, then we will go over to Acts chapter 5, 31. I'd like to bring this scripture in. Acts 5, 31, God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. You know, that is an important scripture, and Peter mentioned that in his sermon. He says that the Prince and Savior, Jesus Christ, who now sits at the right hand of God, will save us from our sins, and he certainly will save those from Israel who will come to know him. Acts 13:38 says, "Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you." Here we go again. He's proclaiming forgiveness of our sins if we will just accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Acts 13:38, it says in that one that we just mentioned that he will forgive us of our sins. Let's go to Ephesians 1:7. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Boy, is that ever an important one. We know that Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins, and he gives us salvation when we just come to him in full repentance of our sins and be remorseful in that repentance and be asking God for forgiveness from the sins through Jesus Christ, his Son, who saved us by dying on the cross for them. Now, at this point in time, I would like to take a stop point and bring in a special music from Carol Robertson. It says, "Without him, I am nothing."
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail.
Isn't that song perfect in what we've just mentioned? Without him, we have nothing. I want to go back and pick up one additional scripture in the previous part that I was teaching. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Oh, that's so important. You know, he goes into our third section is, he promises to give us divine pardon. And that is part of what we just heard. Without him, we have nothing. Isaiah 42:25 says, that's 43:25, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Did you hear that? He says he will blot out our sins, our past, and will remember them no more and make us a new person in Christ. Isaiah 44:22 also says, "I've swept away your offenses like a cloud. Your sins are like morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." All we have to do is turn to Jesus Christ as our Savior. Isaiah 44:22 also says, Isaiah 55:7. We're in Isaiah 55:7. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him to our God, for he will freely pardon." You can find that in several other scriptures, such as Jeremiah 5:1 and 31:34 and 33:8. He is free to pardon us from our sins if we will just come to him in remorseful repentance. In Micah 7:8, he said, "Who is a God like you, who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy." Oh, that's so important. You know, he gives us grace and mercy. So let's turn back to Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we've already mentioned 1 John 1:9. I'd like to go to Matthew 26:28. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for all of us. He forgives us of our sins if we will just come and have belief and faith in him. And in Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's also found in Romans 3:25. We must repent, and we must come to Christ and ask for forgiveness of our sins, and we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that that can happen. Our next category that I would like to get into is the sustaining of the promises. It's also called divine preservation. Under the sustaining promises, let's look at Deuteronomy 33:27. "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, 'Destroy him.'" And then in Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Oh, that's so important. Just think that the Lord God who made this universe, who created it, and everyone in it and everything in it, is willing to take the strength of his arms, the power of his might, and he will keep us and save us. Then in Deuteronomy 6:24, the preserving of the faithful. He says, "The Lord commanded us to obey all his decrees and to fear the Lord our God," that means respect him, "so that we might always prosper and keep alive, as the case today." Even under today's problems, we can be kept alive. In Psalm 37:28, it says, "For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off." He says he will save us and protect us. Proverbs 2:8 says, "For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones." He is there to put up the shield of protection. All we have to do is believe. In 2 Timothy 4:18, he says, "The Lord will rescue me from the evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." I love that verse. And a fifth category that I wanted to get in today is salvation or condemnation. Here, I've got quite a few verses, so bear with me as we go down. You might want to write these down under salvation. This is a promise from God. Psalms 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" In Psalms 37:39, it says, "The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble." Yes, he is our stronghold and our protector. In Isaiah 12:2. It says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust to not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation and eternal life. Please believe me, that is the truth and the way and the life for all of us. And then in Isaiah 25:9, "In that day they will say, 'Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord, we trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.'" Woo! Isn't that great? We can rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Isn't that wonderful to know that the Lord God, our Creator, rejoices over each and every one who repents and comes by faith and believe in him? In the conditions of or endurance, I'd like to look at Matthew 10:22. "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." That's right. We must stand firm in our belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says faith and confession, Romans 10:9, that if you confess your mouth, by your mouth or with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's also found in 1 Corinthians 1:21 and 15:2 and 2 Timothy 3:15. There's spiritual receptivity. James 1:21, "Therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." It's the word. The word is Jesus Christ, who spoke the word, who wrote the word, who is the word, and we must believe in him. In spiritual diligence, in 2 Peter 1:10, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall." Making our election sure, that means that we have to know that we're saved, that we have to know that we have been accepted. How do we know it? It's by faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 1:11, it says, "And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Isn't that great to know that we're welcomed into his kingdom? Spiritual cleansing, Revelation 22:14. "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city of Jerusalem." Oh, hallelujah, Lord God, we thank you this day for salvation. And there are promises to the righteous. In Psalms 34:15, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry." In Psalms 37:25, "I was young, and now I am old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread." In Psalms 92:12, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon. In Isaiah 3:10, it says, "Tell the righteous, it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds." Hallelujah. Amen. Finally, in Matthew 13:43, it says, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Yes, let him hear. Now, as I close out the first section before Evangelist Minister Linda comes to present her message for today, I'd like for you to listen to a special music by Nicole Mullen as she sings, "My Redeemer Lives."
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can know?